So, Father, you have encouraged us that you are the one we can bring problems to, that you are larger than the problems. And somehow, in your mysterious way, you can enter into the heart, the volitional apparatus that you've given us, our minds, and you can work miracles in bringing people unexpectedly to you. In this case, we have two requests. Father, one is that as Ethan interacts with his older brother, may he recognize that ultimately you're in charge, that you can work and circumvent whatever unwillingness that Jaden would have. And Father, you can work in his heart, and the joy that would bring to the rest of us as we see you act, and ultimately the joy you would bring to him as he bows and submits his knee to you. Father, help all of us to be alert to the part that we may play in bringing him to you. Thank you for being the God of faithfulness, the God of dynamic work. Encourage all of us as we watch to see how you will work with this young man. Father, accept our thanks. Accept our recognition that we too must bow to you. You've privileged us. You allow us to bring requests to you in the very name and identity of your Son, Jesus Christ. Accept our request, accept our thanks in his name. Amen. Okay, Dan, you are going to go back up to your house and retrieve some information. Right now would be a good time for you to leave. I'm pulling rank as an elder brother.
I'm coming back.
So, as Dan steps out, October for the last at least 30 years has been Pastor Appreciation Month. And to my recollection, we have done nothing or said nothing to express that specifically to Dan this month. I'm not here to propose that you make that expression in this way or another way. Just that you express to him your appreciation for him as your pastor. I've been a Christian now, or claimed the name of Christ, for about 70 years. During that time, I've heard a lot of preachers. I've sat under some great Bible teachers. And I have no problem saying that Dan Robinson is the finest combination of Bible teacher and pastor that I've ever had. Okay? So, I would just encourage you, think about it. Say something meaningful to Dan and to his family about his ministry to you in this congregation, what you observed. Give him thanks. Express your appreciation. That's all. Okay? Father, as we look into this subject matter, continuing what has already been started, then we ask you to help us concentrate, help us to think positively, and to learn lessons that can help us in our everyday lives. Father, you are kind to us. Accept our thanks and our request. Again, thank you for allowing to come to you in the name of your Son. Amen. I want to thank Michael for the weeks that he has spent here in talking about faith, its centrality in the Bible, the necessity for us to have faith. I'm going to continue the subject and probably hit it from a little different angle, not contradictory. I hope it is supportive. Okay? And I am guessing, what time do you folks have right now?
10:40.
How much?
10:40.
You know how much time we have left? 5 minutes.
Go for it, Dave.
All I can do is give you a bare bones introduction to the subject of faith. Now, if I'm to title this, I would call it The Reasoning Mind and the Mind of Faith, Thinking the Christian Life. I remember being at a church service a number of years ago, 25, 30 years ago. The pastor, who was a wonderful Bible teacher, large church, Sunday morning was 1,000-plus people, Sunday evening, several hundred, and he talked about the relationship of faith and reason. And he concluded by saying something like this: the choice between the two, always go with faith, never go with reason. During the week, one of the men who was in that congregation went to him with an objection and pointed out a number of scripture verses to him. And the following Sunday night, he reversed himself. We do not divorce reason from faith. The two go together. And that will be my concentration as we progress our way through this. I remember, first of all, let me say this. One of the things I would like to do is to discuss a little bit more about what is faith. Secondly, abuses of faith. And thirdly, examples of faith in action. Now, some of this is going to be personal testimony. Not because I think I have all of the answers, but because ultimately our faith is placed in the God that we say we trust. And so whatever positive comes from it is to His glory. Not because of me. I am a speck in the long history of God's interaction with man. I am sorry that it's taken me so long to come to an appreciation of faith over reason, or reason over faith, or how the two get together. So when I get to the personal applications, they are simply illustrations, not suggesting necessarily you do what I do, but keep looking up to the God of all of us and see how He acts. As most of you know, my career in trying to earn a paycheck and keeping body and soul together has been in broadcasting. And as such, we would be required, this is across the board for radio stations and television, to be able to justify to the Federal Communications Commission that we are indeed serving our local community. When we run things called public service announcements, for which we receive no monetary return, they look at that and say, okay, you are involved for something other than a paycheck. One of the public service commercials we would run was for something called the Negro College Fund. You've maybe heard some of those. They're pretty good, talking about the benefits for that population group and how they can be served and the benefits that they derive from it and how they become productive in our culture and so on. And one of the key phrases attached to that is, the mind is a terrible thing to waste. I think that's a good slogan for us as Christians to keep in mind. The mind is a terrible thing to waste. Now think about it. In Proverbs, I think it's Proverbs 17, we have a relatively familiar verse. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Not as a man faiths in his heart. Does that mean the heart should have no faith? No, it doesn't mean that. But this particular sliver of scripture is emphasizing the relationship of the mind to pleasing God. Turn to Paul's epistles in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Be transformed by the renewing of your what?
Mind.
Of your mind. In Philippians chapter 4, we have kind of a grocery list of positive things to think about. Think on these things. Unfortunately, there is a branch of the broad evangelical church that does not emphasize the need for thinking correctly, but it's believe correctly. And often what they call believing correctly is nothing more than treating God like a Santa Claus or a genie in a lamp that we rub it correctly. He pops out. We say the right words. We get what we're asking for. I'll say a little bit more about that as we go on. That is heresy. It's heresy in the sense that it does not state the situation correctly. This last week I was reading a news article that one of the prominent Word of Faith ministers in the South has determined that what is keeping Jesus Christ from returning to this earth with the rapture is that his people are not giving enough money. How does a person get there? God has a plan. Whether you give a nickel, a dollar, a $1 million check, you are not going to change God's plan. This same man talks about never asking people to give money to a project or to his ministry. Rather, he gives them the opportunity. Come on, we're playing with words. That's all we're doing. Of course he's asking them to give. In fact, there's even a club, a weapon that goes with that. You will not be blessed unless you respond. Oh, all right. As we progress, and I'm over 5 minutes, what is faith? Abuses of faith and examples of faith. So I expect us to be involved in this for, Pastor, at least 2 more weeks. Maybe 3. I don't think we'll go 10. Okay. Father, my desire for you is that you give us both minds and hearts that can work together with your revealed truth and recognize that you are ultimately the one who is in charge and the one to be glorified, and we should never use your word as a battering ram to get people to do what we think you want them to do. Help us, Father, to bow our knee to you and be so very grateful to you for what you do. Thank you. In the very name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, you guys. I hope you'll come back.